Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, hello, welcome everyone to the fourth episode of this season of the Brainiac Podcast. This is the podcast of the University of Toronto chapter of the Concussion Legacy Foundation. I am your host, Melissa Biscardi. I'm a registered nurse, concussion clinician, and PhD student at the Acquired Brain Injury Lab at the University of Toronto. And today I am joined by my friend and colleague, Dr. Brigida. And we have such a good, exciting episode lined up for you. But before we dig into that, I just want to give a little shout out to our sponsors. Our sponsor is HeadCheck Health, and HeadCheck Health bridges the gap in concussion care through powerful, simple technology. And organizations such as the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, and Volleyball Canada rely on HeadCheck Health to improve communication and optimize care. So definitely visit headcheckhealth.com for more information. So now, welcome, welcome, Brigida. So we have a little bit of a long history. We met 3 or 4 years ago. We have done a few lives together. And now this, I think, is our first podcast together. And I'm super, super excited. So you seem to be moving farther and farther away from me. When I first connected with you, you were in Ottawa. And then I want to say moved to Newfoundland. And then now you're in Stockholm. And you are a naturopathic doctor and a paramedic. And then you moved to Stockholm to open a concussion clinic. So you're definitely passionate about brain health and concussion care. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your practice? And then we can get into, well, I don't blame you for leaving Canada, but what sort of, what was the final inspiration for the move? And then we can just keep edging forward in our amazing plan for this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a pleasure to do this with you again. It's always so much fun. And it's, it's just amazing to always catch up with you and to nerd out. I think that's the best part, is just getting to nerd out with you. As you mentioned, I'm a naturopathic doctor by training, and I was a paramedic for 10 years. So a lot of my work really stemmed from seeing the gap between the two, right? So as a paramedic, I would see these head injuries and the lack of really acute care from the emergency side, other than ruling out the red flags. Then patients were just like left to figure it out on their own. And then they're trying to figure out like, okay, who, what, where. And as a naturopathic student at the time, I was learning so much about what we can do for brain injury patients and how to support them as well. And then getting into the circle of the concussion community and amazing clinicians such as yourself, you're like, holy smokes, there's so many people doing amazing work already, right? So just adding to the work that you do. And yeah, I moved all the way over here to Stockholm, Sweden, and I miss my concussion community, because I find that's the hardest piece here. Is in Canada and the US, there's been so much awareness over the last couple of years around concussions. And so whether they're being recognized earlier, or at least trained professionals are being sought out, such as yourself, the beauty of it is, I have a referral network. It's like when I need a manual practitioner or a physio, or you know, an osteo and someone who's amazing with like the visual rehab, it's like, go see Melissa or go see this person. And I do more of that metabolic piece as a naturopathic doctor. And here, there's kind of nobody. So it's really
interesting. I was going to say, because I'm wondering if when you were here, you experienced this, because I will have people contact me from kind of, I want to say, all over Europe, and even had one young lady from Germany come to Canada for rehab, and she had sort of hopped around the different countries close to her, right? Really, people are going far and then even farther to access care. So, I mean, I definitely think your clinic is going to start meeting a need that's there. Yeah. What else do you see that's different there from here? What is the medical model?
That's always a thing to figure out when you move to a new city, new country, right? It's like, okay, tell me what your medical model is like. Yes. Having been directly in it as a parent. Do you have one? And some culture shock around like what it actually is. So having been a paramedic, you very intimately see it and you're like, oh, okay, this is exactly what it's like. You know, you get welcomed into people's homes, into hospitals, into medical offices, all kinds of places. And obviously, having so many clinicians as mentors and friends, you kind of really get to understand so much of it, right? In both sides of it. And here you're like, okay, someone tell me what like this, speaking to some of my post-concussion patients, you know, and they're like, yeah, there's some sort of stuff, but really I think the struggle is much the same as Canada, where they might have some clinics, but they're not really doing anything as far as concussion specific, or it's not up to date. I think that's the biggest thing. The biggest culture shock for me actually was like, do people have family doctors? They're like, not really.
Oh,
and I was like, whoa. I'm like, do you go for yearly checkups or anything? They're like, no, not really. So that was a really, really big, I think, culture shock to me. And it's not so much, you know, there's multiple people you can maintain your health with. But I think the biggest thing is there's no one to really continue that or to have that kind of track record. Right. So it's not like you have a family doctor and they're like, oh, I've known you for however many years. And now this is definitely something that's off. Right. You have a clinician that can see, oh, yeah, this has changed. Whereas if you don't have a consistent provider, they're like, well, I don't know what you were like a year ago before your concussion. So how do we know? How do we associate these two things? Right. So that's just been an interesting piece. And I think a lot of the education that's been done, like you mentioned, back in Canada, and the clinician such as yourself who's really done a lot of like education and awareness, patients are finding, you know, me through some of those networks, really. But yeah, I think that was the biggest culture shock to me. I was like, people don't even have family doctors here. So, and then reaching out to even physios and massage therapists and chiropractors, it's the same thing. Like a lot of them are just not aware. They're like, it's like, do you screen for concussions? They're like, no. It's not.
Wow.
Not
it's really fascinating to me, because they're definitely happening. But just an aside, my old Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach, you know, he used to say, oh, well, we don't have concussions in Brazil. It just doesn't happen. Right. So, but obviously, They do.
Yeah.
So it's just an awareness piece, or which is unfortunate, because a concussion, the symptoms are really non-specific often. So if you're not looking for it, if there isn't awareness, then certainly people can be lost in the system, which definitely still happens in Canada. But I want to say not as much. Mm-hmm. Like there's been so much education and on the media and everything.
Yeah.
So your clinic, are you working as an independent practitioner? Are you hoping to flesh it out to a multidisciplinary team, or what's your vision?
When that's you pack a great
your
question.
Bags, like, follow
yeah,
your dream.
That's pretty much what happened. Yeah. So I'm an independent clinician working on my own, and really, it's kind of been trying to figure out, you know, who do I have that I can collaborate with? And so there are people like neurooptometrists. So some of my patients actually have come as a cross referral from them. Yeah, which is really, really great. So that's the one piece, you know, going from naturopathic doctor to having a neurooptometrist, you're like, okay, this is one piece that's absolutely amazing to have. So yeah, I'm an independent clinician basically, and hoping to grow. And the other piece is, you know, how do we raise that awareness that's happened in Canada? Because I think, I want to say maybe it was Rowan's Law that really changed a lot of things, especially in Ontario. Like I remember even coaching figure skating and we had to do training on concussions, right? Which it, of course it does happen in figure skating, but they're fewer and far between than more high impact sports. So it was just very interesting to see how everything shifted. And, you know, even reaching out to some of the soccer coaches here, I'm like, do you guys get trained in concussion, like recognition or what to do? And they're like, nope. And wow. So, yeah, which is once again, just another thing where you're like, okay, how do we, you know, like you, I think coming from Canada, you can definitely see like, okay, this is what we've done in Canada to really raise that awareness and to get people into rehab sooner. So it's like, you can see the pieces. And of course, like there's always glitches in implementing everything. But there's kind of a model that's already been done. So you're like, can we do some more education and awareness piece around this, because it really, like you said, like they're happening. It's just, I don't know if the blinders are on or what's happening, right? And wow, people don't even know.
What an opportunity for impact though, right?
It
so
is.
That's pretty exciting.
Daunting and opportunity, right? Like they kind of go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's talk about a non-specific symptom of concussion then. This is, I feel like, what we've nerded out on the most, which is sleep post-concussion, sleep in general. I'm super passionate about this topic. Seems like you are too. So let's talk a little bit about sleep. And I mean, the interesting thing about sleep is many people have issues with sleep, regardless of concussion, but definitely amplified in concussion. And there's some research that says sleep is essentially a modifier of healing after concussion, which totally makes sense. So why don't we start off? Where do you want to start off? What are some of the sleep disturbances that can happen after concussion? Or you know what? Actually, sorry. Why do we sleep?
we should start there. Why do we even sleep?
Right?
Yeah. I think that's a great reason or a great place to start. So I think this is a great general topic of conversation, right? Because so many people are sleep deprived and they're like, oh, I just have an extra cup of coffee. And it's like, well, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
if only it worked that way. So during sleep is when we actually secrete the most amount of growth hormone, right? So repair, recovery, tissue repair. That's one of the main functions. We actually prune our synaptic connections and memory formation happens during sleep, right? So all the connections that aren't so strong that your brain's like, oh, we're going to get rid of those. And then we really consolidate the memory and the information that we learn during the day to actually make that stronger. So when you're studying, most people want to stay up all night and pull all nighters, but it's actually during that sleep that you consolidate that memory. And then the biggest piece too is also our brain's drainage system. So in our body, we have our lymphatic system. In our brain, we have the glymphatic system. So it's basically the drainage system of our brain, and it's most active at night as well. And so our brain produces its own metabolic waste per year just by normal function. And so if we have an injury on top of that, then obviously there's more toxins, there's more all kinds of things building up just from the injury, more inflammation. So there's going to be an increased need to actually drain and cleanse the tissue as well. And so then we can kind of see if this is not addressed, how it can easily progress into neurodegenerative conditions as we get misfolded proteins and all kinds of different things and a buildup of different residual waste and toxins in the brain as well. So sleep is super important for those reasons within the brain. And then...
I was just going to say, I think it's a little bit of a snowball when you start to think about it, because after a concussion, there is all this metabolic waste, that metabolic cascade that's happening as the brain is trying to create homeostasis again. So trying to create that balance, which uses a lot of energy, so it needs sleep. And also to clear all the waste, it needs sleep. And then a lot of individuals are not able to sleep. So prolonging essentially how much time it takes for the brain to clear this, and then essentially prolonging recovery.
Absolutely. And I think that's the piece where people are like, okay, I'm super tired. I know I need to sleep. I know my brain needs sleep to repair and to heal itself, but why can't I
sleep?
And
I can't sleep. Exactly.
I can't sleep. Like, this is so frustrating. So it all comes back to our nervous system. And so if we break it down very simply, because it is not, but we'll break it down as simply as we can. We have our sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight response, and then our parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest, digest, repair mode. And when a trauma comes into the body, physical, mental, emotional, our body will go into that fight or flight response. And so it's a quick reaction that's meant to keep us safe and keep us alive. So if we're running from a bear or saber-tooth tiger, you know, our nervous system hasn't changed in many, many years. And it's not actually a choice response. So it's not like I sit there and I'm like, oh yes, now I'm going to run away from this bear. It just automatically does it. And what happens is when there is a trauma, the body will often get stuck in that hypersympathetic state. So it's constantly on alert. And when you're alert, you're not going to be sleeping because you're looking out for the next thing that's coming, right? So this is where the body will get stuck in that state. And not only are people not sleeping, then they'll see the other cascades of that sympathetic nervous system activation, right? Whether it shows up as anxiety, longer term depression as well, the nausea, the photosensitivity, the noise sensitivity, right? Because your nervous system is on high alert. It's really just hypervigilant. That's what it is, because it's worried, what if it happens again? So really, that I find a lot of my work actually with my patients is actually shifting the autonomic nervous system into that parasympathetic, because it doesn't, not that it doesn't matter what we do, but I can give you supplements, you know, and yes, some will help to shift the nervous system. But if your digestion is off because you're in that sympathetic state, right, we're not in that rest and digest. So we're not digesting properly. You're not going to assimilate your food properly. When you're trying to rehab people, your body's still trying to just make sure you're safe. So there's so many pieces that interplay with that nervous system component.
Absolutely. And I'm happy you mentioned the photosensitivity too, because that's a huge education piece, even in my office, is that actually it's very related to the nervous system, that photosensitivity piece. Your pupillary response, right, is just, and even sound sensitivity too. Right. Often once we just nurture the system back to health, back to calm, some of these sensitivities kind of melt away.
Yeah. And I feel like that's really your jam, is what you see in the visual system. You would obviously pick that up way more. Absolutely. With your work.
And so, okay. So we know people maybe are not sleeping very well because of this heightened nervous system response and being stressed about recovery, kind of, again, a snowball, right? And when you can't sleep, you get worried because you know you can't sleep, and then you can't sleep even more. And so we might look for strategies to help us sleep. And some of them are, healthy is not the right word, but let's say some of them are a little more gentle on the system than others. So I'm not sure what your favorite ones are, but like deep breathing before bed, or maybe progressive muscle relaxation. I know a lot of my patients like that one, or using different apps, maybe some supplements. What are your more natural favorites, would you say?
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
That's a great question. There's so many. So going over sleep hygiene as a whole, and I think I'm pretty sure you do this already. It sounds like in your practice as well, but we'll obviously do it. And there's so much to talk about it too. So we'll discuss it. So mornings, so sleep hygiene, everyone's like, oh yes, it's about what I do before I go to sleep. But sleep hygiene really begins in the morning with morning sunlight and setting that circadian rhythm, which is our 24-hour clock. So our circadian rhythm, everything is tied to that 24-hour clock, all our hormonal cycles. So when we're even looking to balance things like hormones, which almost everyone, they're impacted in post-concussion. So digestive function, everything is linked to that circadian rhythm. So morning sun is a massive piece. Being mindful of caffeine and caffeine intake, people don't realize the half-life of caffeine is about 5 to 6 hours, but it can take up to 10 hours to leave your system, right? So if you're having that afternoon coffee, that could still be, if you're having it 2 in the afternoon for some people, you know, that could be like midnight or 2 in the morning if they're slower metabolizers and you're wondering why you can't get to sleep. Some of the obvious ones too are, we talk a lot about screens, not just because of the blue light, but also the flicker that comes from the screen. So it's essentially like having a strobe light in your face. And then really just using light. And this was a learning one too for me because the sun sets so early here. So the sun is setting by like,
essentially.
Yeah. So I was actually struggling with it a little bit because the sun near the solstice, it would set by like 2:30 PM. So you almost felt like you had 2 days and you're like, how do you not mess with your circadian rhythm when you need to turn on the lights? Because like, we can't just go to sleep we can't just go to sleep at 2:30 PM. Wow.
So what time does the sun come up when it's going down at 2:30?
So some days it feels like it doesn't because it's cloudy. But then some days it's like 9:30. So the days are very short. Okay. Yeah. So really like flicking your lights on and being like, okay, it's morning.
It's morning.
And then it's morning. And then nighttime, because we've messed with our rhythm, essentially because we almost have to, because we're, you know, we still work and function past 2:30 PM.
Of course.
Most days. So then it's okay, what do I do to wind down at night? So really being mindful of the lights and blue blocker glasses if we need them. A lot of our technology now has actual filters on it, so you can flick on your night shift modes and things like that. And then you talked about some of the things as far as sleep support. So some of my favorites, they seem super simple, but they work really, really well, is even things like lavender. So lavender essential oil can be a great one. So you can use it in multiple different ways. So you can diffuse it in your room. You can put it on the bottom of your feet. If you're using a therapeutic grade one, you can actually take it internally. Chamomile tea. There's beautiful sleep blends as well. Some of them have L-theanine and GABA in it. So different neurotransmitters that will actually, they're like nature's chill pill. Lemon balm and passion flower are other ones. So There's some good teas. There's also supplements. So there's a variety for people. And sometimes it's trying out different things that work.
Right.
And sometimes it's also figuring out, you know, is there a cortisol piece that we need to help manage as well, right? So
yeah, and that's why it's great to collaborate with a naturopathic doctor who can do the testing and see where there might be blind spots, essentially, in right. terms of why you're not falling asleep.
Right. Yeah, because I feel like melatonin is everyone's kind of go-to. And mm-hmm. while it's important, right, and it's also neuroprotective and a neuroanti-inflammatory. So it has so many benefits, which is also why it's increased while we sleep. A lot of people are like, oh, I've taken melatonin and it doesn't work per se, but right. it's not a sleep pill, right? It's a darkness signal. And the signal, we should be helping our body already create that signal.
Have it, right.
Right. So we can support it. But then also we need to, it's not like, oh, I, you know, bright lights and screens and everything. I take my melatonin, I fall asleep. Like that's right. not how it works. Right. So it's working with your body too and balancing that out. And like you said, right. It's the other things, like whether it's breathing exercises, vagus nerve exercises. Mm-hmm. So anything from singing, humming, chanting, cold plunges are a great one. They're becoming more popular as well. And cold showers, abdominal massages to actually innervate the diaphragm, right? So, and to actually massage the vagus nerve where it innervates the diaphragm. Yeah, so there's a lot of different
options.
Left so many options.
Right. Now, sometimes, and this is how I became so passionate about sleep, is people mm-hmm. will choose over-the-counter sleep aids right. that come under a variety of names, and often a sleep aid and an antihistamine will be the same over-the-counter medication, just branded differently.
Right.
And my personal experience with these medications, because I have a long history of sleep issues, was that I started to lose my memory. And then mm-hmm. lo and behold, there is some research that these medications can have a negative effect on memory, maybe even be linked to Alzheimer's, et cetera. So we know there's a lot of research on this. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because a lot of my, and I'm very, when patients come into my office, like I'm pretty opinionated on this mm-hmm. and just really, because of my personal experience, and encourage them to think about what that medication might be doing to their brain. I've even seen differences. I'm not sure if you have, but when patients have been on these types of medications, which basically interfere with your acetylcholine, right? Mm-hmm. Like your memory producing transmitter. So there are the different brand names. What is it called? Dimethyl. What is that chemical I'm referring to?
Diphenhydramine.
Yes.
Diphenhydramine. Sorry.
That's right.
Yes. Diphenhydramine. Yeah.
We'll put it in the show notes, but if you Google yep. that, you will see that there are a number of, I think every single sleep aid actually includes this chemical. So yes, personal experience with my patients and in the research is that it can interfere with memory. And why I think this is so fascinating too, is because people will experience, or at least subjectively, that their memory is impaired after concussion. So again, just this like cornucopia of overlapping symptoms and experiences. So yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the sleep aids, and there are different, there's the first generation ones, which I was using, which appear to be the most harmful. I'll just say which one I was taking, which was Sleep Ease was the name. But then there are some second and third generation ones. So maybe if you want to speak to this and your thoughts and experiences with that.
Yeah, I think it's actually beautiful that you share your own personal experience, because I think so many people can relate to this too, right? And having both the clinician side and then the research, it gives people so much information to basically weigh the pros and cons on. But you're absolutely right. So how these work is they actually block the cholinergic, has anticholinergic effects. So they block the choline, and choline acetylcholine is responsible for memory formation. So when you start to block it, then obviously the very neuro or the very thing that's needed to actually make or to help with memory formation is not happening, right? So you're blocking that whole cascade. So that is exactly how, or we suppose that's exactly how it happens, right? We can't 100% say, because sometimes we go back years later and we're like, ooh, maybe that mechanism of action wasn't 100%
take right. Take that episode down.
Take that down. So caveat, for now, that's how we think it is, yes. But you know, it always changes. So along with the anticholinergic effects and the impaired memory, there's also other side effects that people notice. So the dry eyes and the dry mouth. They'll also have difficulty focusing because it basically puts it in the eyes also into like a state of dilation and pupils, that more like heightened awareness, right? So once again.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So then they'll become more or less responsive to light as well. So then, and this is an important piece, like you were mentioning, right? It's important to tease out, is this a medication side effect or is this because of the concussion? Because the last thing, you know, we're always taught as naturopathic doctors, okay, we definitely don't want to supplement like the side effects of a medication right? Like, because then you just end up with this like pile of stuff that you're taking and you're like, what's what and who's who? So figuring out what's the side effect, what's actually more root cause. And that's an important piece as well. And then when you're looking at things like stomach motility, that can also lead to constipation. So then we're getting gut issues, and the gut and the brain are intimately connected physically through the vagus nerve, but then also the enteric nervous system, right? So there's so many pieces as well. It can also produce tachycardia. So once again, a lot of people will get more of those like palpitations, anxiety, they'll feel that. And the first generation antihistamines, they will cross the blood-brain barrier. So they go through, but I remember you reached out to me once and you're like, hey, I have a patient who's taking a second generation antihistamine. And we were discussing it. And the other important piece to remember here is when there's a head injury, there's a breakdown of the blood-brain barrier. So really most molecules, even if they're small, will probably still get through. So you're still going to see a lot of those side effects that maybe in a not concussed patient with an intact blood-brain barrier wouldn't pose as much of an impact or have as many side effects. But when you have that leaky blood-brain barrier, you're going to see more of those symptoms. So some of those symptoms will actually be the eyes. So you can get like blurred vision, or just the pupils will be less responsive to light. There could be agitation, constipation, dry mouth, even hyperthermia. So then once again, when we're looking at exercise tolerance again, and the tachycardia piece, right? And clearing athletes back to, or players or whoever back to sport as well, if they're already tachycardic and they're hyperthermic, they're going to be less tolerant to exercise. So these can all play important pieces of the puzzle.
You know, it's really interesting. Well, a side note, my patient is no longer taking that. Honestly, it was that was a really challenging case because the antihistamine, it was actually for the antihistamine effect. And so some of you out there also might be weighing quality of life. You want to sleep, or you don't want to get these hives, but then this supplement is impairing other functions, right? So balancing them all. But in terms of the memory piece, we sleep so that we can form memories. But then if we're taking this supplement, it's actually not allowing us to form memories. So just like really doing a thorough history, I guess, from a clinician side of view, and then really asking questions from a patient side of view, even if you think something is over the counter and quote unquote safe or harmless, right? Everything has an effect and potentially has an interaction, or if you're recovering from a concussion or anything else, your body is a little bit more vulnerable. So we want to make sure everything we do is as safe as possible.
And I think that raises another important point right there as you were speaking. It's, you know, even though things are legal and safe, right? Some people will use alcohol, or some people will use weed or marijuana to sleep. And those also will impact REM sleep. So then the quality of sleep is further impacted as well, right? Yes. So just there's, like you said, it's always like there, we have to be very mindful because there could be ramifications that we're not, we're like, it's almost like that short-term gain to try and fix things. But then it just becomes like this hamster wheel of like, okay, what do we need to wean people off of? And what else now do we need to fix that's underlying, right? So, I mean, that's not to say sometimes we don't use things to help support sleep. We absolutely do, right? Depending on the situation. But I always like to think, okay, how can we naturally support as best as we can with the least amount of side effects? And that even goes for allergy season, right? Like I know we're only in January when we're recording, but you know, depending
Someone might be listening to this in March.
Yep. So there's a lot of things we can do naturally as well to support the immune system and the allergy response, because like you said, the sleep medications and the antihistamines are often cross-branded, right? So then they're, yes, we're taking them for one thing, but we might be taking the same thing for something else because they just changed the label. Right. And that does happen because people don't realize, right? Yes. So, and that's the other important thing is just being mindful and checking, what am I actually taking?
Absolutely.
Because that's a really important point too, is people might be doubling up during allergy season.
I didn't even think of that until now.
Yeah, same.
Right. Yeah. So what did I want to say? Oh, yes. So we will not, this is a separate episode where maybe we can talk about allergies, but what I wanted to say, because you are definitely an amazing resource. So people can find you on Naturally Neuro. People can actually work with you virtually, or they can work with you in person if they're in Stockholm. What do you have sort of, or if there's anything else you want to mention, and then also what do you have coming up? How can people reach out to you? Other ways to work with you?
Yeah. I think the other thing we were talking about is waking up in the middle of the night and some sleep disturbances. Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll just touch on that briefly because that also happens for some patients where they feel like, they're like, oh, I can get to sleep. And then like, I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just can't, like, I'm wide awake and I can't get back to sleep. And that's also super frustrating for people. So that can often be a blood sugar drop in the middle of the night. So when our blood sugar drops, what will happen is cortisol, our stress hormone, will increase to release the sugar from our stores. So to actually compensate for that drop in the blood sugar, but we don't just compensate by increasing the blood sugar. We also wake up because cortisol, we get a morning spike of cortisol to actually wake us up, which is a normal response. And so one thing people can do is making sure that for some people, they'll actually need to have almost like a bedtime snack of protein and healthy fats to actually get them through the night so that their blood sugar isn't dropping. And then some people are getting up a lot in the middle of the night to, because they have to pee. They're constantly like, because people are told like, oh, you have to stay hydrated, right? With a head injury to help that support that lymphatic system. So minerals are a big, big one. And I say minerals, not electrolytes, because a lot of the commercial stuff is full of junk. It's literal junk. Like it should not be fluorescent. If it looks like that, it's really not good for your brain, regardless if you have a concussion or not. So I always say minerals because the more water we drink and we're not taking minerals and the more we actually flush out. So then it kind of becomes this cycle of like, you're not actually retaining the water that you do need. It's not getting into your cells where it's needed the most. So those are two other pieces where people are finding, okay, this is keeping me up in the middle of the night, or I'm waking up because I don't know why I'm waking up at 3 a.m. or I'm waking up because I have to pee all the time. So those are some other pieces I think with regards to sleep.
Yes, that blood sugar drop. I actually was thinking about it and then I forgot. And then you brought it up. So that's good. That's my memory. That's my memory lapse.
It's all good.
But I often, recommend to patients if we're trying to tease that out. Also, if maybe some almonds before bed or avocado, something high fat, high protein that's going to digest a little bit slower. Do you have any other sort of go-tos in terms of a bedtime snack or before bed snack?
Yeah, those are the two big ones.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes even honey, like we'll help out. Yeah.
Okay.
So combination of things. And sometimes it does take a little bit of trial and error to figure out, like, you know, what works and how much do I need from my body? Because everyone's different.
Yeah, absolutely. Not an entire bowl of avocados.
I mean, they are delicious and good for you, but.
Amazing. And so, yeah. So how can people connect with you?
Yeah. So
and what should they look out for?
Yeah. So I am on Instagram at naturally_neuro. And my website is drbrigida.com. I don't have anything too wild on the go. I've been working on clinic and getting it up and going here. So that's mainly what I've been focusing on and keeping my patients in Canada as well. But I do work with anyone worldwide as well. So they can always find me there and book online as well.
Amazing. Well, I'll definitely put that in the show notes sharing this near and far. So hopefully people connect with you and we definitely need a follow-up episode.
Absolutely.
Just keep spreading the word. Thank you so, so much for your time. I know it's later there than it is here. So
it just looks later.
Yeah, what time is it there?
It's only 5:00.
Right? Oh, 5. Yeah. Okay. Like it looks like it's 11 p.m. Oh my gosh. Well, I hope you have an amazing weekend and we'll connect again soon.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's blessed as always.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, bye. Melissa. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.